I'm going to open in a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord of glory, we just praise and honor you for the precious words, the inspiration, and the revelation and wisdom for Harvester's Church. We thank you for a thirsty and a hungry church. Father, we lift up the service to you today that your will, your plans, your purposes would be done here today. Please open our spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And we humbly ask for your anointing to be upon the words that we speak. We thank you for sending us on another journey, Lord, so we can see and share with others the hand of God at work. The Lord has directed this Sunday from start to finish. Be ready to consume his word with an open heart and receive from the Lord Jesus this day. Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. The Lord is going to overcome evil with your obedience. I've got a couple prayers that we've received on a Monday that we felt went along with what Dawn's going to share, because she's got a testimony to share. So this one is from May 8th, 2023, and it's signs that I am here for you. Have you seen the different patterns and cloud formations? This is for you as well. This is the Lord speaking. Like a pattern of artwork. Such beauty has not been seen on the earth as it is now. My children, this is letting you know that I am here for you. All you have to do is ask of me, and I shall hear you. Come close to me, and as I mentor you, know you have the best of the best on your side and in your heart. Allow your heart to be changed by my presence. Loose all unforgiveness. I want to stop right there. Matthew 6:14-15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness holds us back for the fullness of what God wants to give. It keeps us separated from God. I desire to be your God and your counselor in all things. Call upon me and know, my children, you shall be set free. I sent my son to the cross so you may be loosed from your pains, from your memories, from your nightmares. Nevertheless, Psalm 73:23-24 says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel. Behold, my children, I am here, for my grace is sufficient for you. My love for you is a love you have never experienced before, until you felt my love and my peace and came to know my truth, my will, and my ways. The captives will be set free in Jesus' name. And this word came Monday, May 15th. Stand and believe. We were in prayer. And I asked the Lord a question. How do we pray for the multiple issues families are suffering in our congregation and in friends' lives? We feel empty of the proper words to speak. Even scripture seemed to be as far away from us. Father, how do we respond? I know that it is through your love, but how do we give them hope? Fill us with your words, O Lord. And the Lord said, children, there are so many, many things before your eyes and your heart that can move my hand for the asking. You see, though, I can do all things. But, my children, I love to have your hands and your thoughts alongside mine. Many, many times I am asked, Lord, why is this still happening? And I say, my children, my timing, my purposes and my directives need to be in place. And you say, Lord, what can we do? And he says, stand. My children, stand. Believe me by the power of my Holy Spirit of truth. Matters matter to me, children. In my secret place you shall receive many thoughts, many unknown and many with understanding. I can take you places you have never been before. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're definitely in the evil day. That we are able to stand against the evil and having done all, keep standing. Hold on, I say, hold on. What happens when my truth and revelations are brought to the forefront? Wisdom and understanding come forth. Lights start flashing in your mind and your heart. This is when Dawn began to see the bigger picture of what she's about to unfold. The light bulb turned on, and then she responds, yes, Lord, yes, I understand. I see your truth, and I see the purpose. I just went through that. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, your presence is overflowing those who seek and ask for answers, for revelation, understanding, and for the love of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Next, Dawn will share her beautiful testimony.
Oh, don't give me a laugh. No. Yes, Father, we thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you are unfolding. I have a question for you. Can you raise your hand if you were here on Easter Sunday? Okay. The reason I'm asking, and Pastor had a wonderful message, and there was a powerful presence of the Lord in the sanctuary. As I was praying, I come in and pray at 9 o'clock before service. And as I was praying and declaring for the body of Christ in the morning, laughter hit me for a long time. I mean, laughter. And the scripture I'm going to use for that, a merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. That's in Proverbs 17:22. I began to worship with raised hands to the Lord. I became very unsteady. I laid down on the front row chairs. My arms and hands were painfully shaking. I had to keep my eyes straight on the Lord to get me through it, through this battle, lasting through probably two-thirds or three-quarters of the service that day. Did I know what was happening? Not a clue. But I knew it was the Spirit. The Spirit was all over me. That came upon me for a purpose and a reason, which you will see the handy work today, what had transpired on Easter Sunday started here. For those that were here on Easter, they may have wondered what was happening. They were thinking I was having a seizure, and I wasn't. And those that weren't here will be informed. Also, when I mentioned my arms in pain, I was not hurt. It was like over-exercising. Has anybody done that? Yeah. I was fine after that. The very next day, the Lord answered my question about what took place. And when I want to share a scripture of the shaking and kind of warring in the spirit, Psalms 144 is, "Blessed is the Lord of my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle." Years ago, I was prophesied over that my hands are warring hands. Now, I had no idea what that meant, and I still hadn't till Easter. And I found out. And I understand that. And Psalms 144 said, it's being trained for battle. I received a directive about a month and a half later, after Easter in prayer. And I was to call Linda, and the directive was this. "Okay, Lord," I says, "I must share this with Linda. And I know what she's going to say." After my prayer time was over, I called her and I said, "What? I have something to tell you, and I do not think you're going to want to hear this." The Lord said, "I needed to share what was going on Easter Sunday." And the Lord had been drawing all that out for us. She began laughing and she said, "Don, I was just reading your dream and confirmations to what transpired on Easter Sunday," and said, "She needs to give a testimony." There was an awareness in our hearts that all God was giving me, that we realized God was putting together a story on paper that needed to be shared. In what we share today, you will be able to see God's hand at work. On April 21st, I had a dream. And this dream was more a dream than I've ever had. I've had dreams, but this was informative. This was God, too. The first thing I saw in this dream were two pale horses on our front lawn. So when I went over by them, then I noticed my neighbor had her trash cans out. And standing near them was a colt. His head had splotches of blood on his face. It was as if he had a crown of thorns on his head, like the pattern of the blood showed running down the colt's face. And I'm going, "Whoa, Lord." And the horses and the colt symbolize the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The colt symbolizes Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. The pale horses symbolize divinity. So on with the dream. My husband Steve and Joe, our neighbor, walked over by the colt. Joe heard crying coming from a trash can. He reached in and pulled from the trash, a little girl about the age of a toddler. Joe yelled, "Don, call the police." The child looked healthy and was dressed in a white jumper with pink flowers on it. Then I woke up. The child in the trash can represents us. She was not bruised or injured. She was in a place no one would find her. Her white jumper represents innocence and purity. There was not a trace of dirt on her. She was not alone, and the Lord was with her. I asked the Lord to reveal this dream to me so I know what he's saying. I sat before the Lord in prayer in my secret place. He shared with me his words, and I asked the Lord for confirmation of what he said. Then I wait. When the confirmation comes, I say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you have revealed it to me, I will share it with others." What he revealed to me was, he said, "My promises and justice is here." He said, "Child, you are seeing in the very near future, not so far away. The plans I have will soon be completed. Multitudes of my children have been entrapped by the enemy, which is Satan and the people that he uses. I say by my blood on the cross, I have a covenant to keep. I keep my promises. Lies, freedom, abuses have been trying to take over my earth. The destructive abuses are coming to a halt. The killing of my babies, the abuse of my small children, teens and adults is a stench in my nostril. And a stench is a bad odor." And a scripture for this is Amos 4:10. "Along with your captive horses, I made the stench of your camps come up to your nostril. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord." "The captives will be set free," he said. "Their trauma shall pass, for I am their protection. You will see them fulfilled in spirit, peace beyond all understanding. The harm that was done to them is no longer in control of their soul and memories. Loving their Lord Jesus and grateful thanksgiving and joyfulness, the captives have been set free. They will be touched by the Holy Spirit. They shall not want for anything but their Lord. This land is my land, says the Lord. Flourishing, worshiping, praising me, salvations, revivals, all being brought forth in my time. Be free, for you will see with eyes wide open to what I have done in my name, Jesus. Glory." Then comes the confirmations to these. "As I began typing out, I keep my promises, the Lord began revealing to me what this dream was about. In excitement of his words flowing through my fingertips, because revelation was just coming. Revelation, I was so excited. It began speaking to my heart. I was getting it. That was that light. I was getting it. He said the captives will be set free. Their trauma shall pass and have no control over their souls and will not be plagued by memories. As these words hit the paper, it was like a light flashing in my heart telling me, this is what I have done for you on April 9th, Easter Sunday. I didn't know what he was doing with me, but I know he was doing something, and I think it was for the body too. You were under my power of the Holy Spirit. Much was accomplished that day. Beautiful morning in service. Love, compassion, and the heart of my children were being touched by my presence. Generational chains were being unshackled off my children as they were in my presence that day. As the warring was going on, you ask, why do you think this happened? The Lord told me, and then I experienced his word and healings as the days went by. Isaiah 26, I'm going to read this scripture for you. And it talks about the, well, says, we'll not be plagued. We will not be plagued by memories of past times, of hurt things, of anything. And I thought, okay, Lord, how's that going to work? And the Lord gave me, use this many times, we have. And I suggest everyone here go to Isaiah 26, 12, 14. It talks about the Lord will establish peace for us. For you have done all our works in us. But the Lord says, Lord our God, masters besides you have dominion over us. Okay, the dominion is what our worries, our cares, our addictions, whatever we're going through, our sickness, our illnesses. And you just read this and believe it and get it out of your house, out of your families, out of everything that is plaguing you and harming you and keeping you from God's hand. But by you only we make mention of your name, the Lord's name. They are dead, they will not live, they are deceased, and they will not rise. So when you use this scripture, and I've used it many times in my life when I found it. They will not rise. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them. The Lord had punished and destroyed them. So that shouldn't be a problem. What about your memories, though? What about the memories? You have memories that are in there. And it says, and made all their memories to perish. Amen. And I can attest to this. On my next one, I can attest to this. And so I encourage you. To me, out of this is the most important thing for your lives. Use it every day, every situation. I had experienced childhood abuse throughout my childhood. And as an adult, when I came to the Lord, I learned I have to forgive everyone who harmed me physically, emotionally, and sexually. And you're thinking, how can you talk about this? I'm not comfortable about it, by no means. But God wanted me to, because He wants you to be set free from trauma. Trauma, I'm discovering, will bring sickness. And as I go on further, you'll find out. I've forgiven everybody from grade school to all the way up when I came to the Lord. I forgave everybody, and that was good. And I did, in 92, get a healing of MS. So it's important to do that. And I'm thankful for that I can stand here and be here. So, but there was something in me, in my belly, down there, something that even though the memories are coming, the memories would pop up, and you just shoo them away. And it's like something, you know, you didn't feel set free or something. I guess the best way I can say it. Well, a few days later, after Easter Sunday, I felt so different. I was set free from that trauma. And you know, that day or two, I was walking around like, I don't know what to do. There was such a weight off of me. I thought, you know, what happened? And that is what Jesus said in this, that He would, in this scripture, that the trauma would not stay and that you would be set free from it. And I was. Yes. I have those memories of everything. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because it doesn't have control over me. It doesn't bother me. I don't even think of it anymore. Because it run my life. I was afraid to step out. I was more shy than, and you know, how you get. So, after that had passed, as Jesus said it would, I have a memory of what happened, but the peace of all understanding, the harm that was done, is no longer in control. I have been set free. As almost a month went by, and I realized I received a healing of a situation I had all my life, and I had a terrible time with it. I was completely healed of irritable bowel syndrome. And I thank the Lord, because you're tied to you know what. Thank you, Lord. And holy, thank you, Lord, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, in your presence this day, testimonies have power and anointing when they are spoken out. When we speak out God's words, they don't return void. They go out to accomplish what God has planned. And the anointing, receive it, children. Anything that's spoken out today, receive. It's all for you. It wasn't just for me. It's all for you. It's opening up this, our church, knowing that you can really see God. Well, we're seeing Him all the time, but how he's moving. And this is what we wanted you to see, how he's moving and planning different things. Lord, pour out your power of healing through the words spoken this day, in Jesus' name. And Linda, you want to share what you did when we were working on this?
Because Dawn and I are so close and we're together so much, I see things in her, and I know that many of you probably have seen it too, and she's given me permission to ask. She had an issue with her eyes where she would, if she got nervous, I think it was, she would blink them just terrible and her face would distort, and that was part of who she was. And no one would say anything. And I sat for a month and a half next to her, watching, because I knew God had healed her. God healed her of that as well. She no longer does that. You guys can start watching her now. I did. I'd sit in Bible study and I'd look at her just to see if she was going to do that. And she didn't do it from Easter Sunday on. And so all these little things that have added up, it's like you gotta share it. You can't hold that in. We all want God to move in this church. And if we don't step out and voice it, it won't happen. Because if God gives you that word and then you don't release it, right, John. He's smiling. I love you, John. Are we done?
I was going to do this, just one more thing, and then you can come up. I was in prayer the other day, and intercessory prayer, and in intercessory prayer, you can have wailing and crying, and I was in a real crying out loud, and I knew that it was God, and I just went through it, and when I got done, I got my pen, and he says, "This is a personal letter from God to all this day. Fear not, my children. I speak to everyone here with all the love in my heart. There is not one thing in your life that I cannot forgive you for. Just ask me and come to me with what is in your heart. Lay it all down at my feet, and as Linda said, whether it's you need forgiveness or healing of body, soul, or mind, or more of God, all that. Then Matthew 12:31-2 says, "But for the believer, blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven." So there's only one thing that you wouldn't be forgiven for, is the blasphemy for the believers. My soul longs for all my children. I desire to walk with you and talk with you. Allow me to be your Savior that was crucified for you. I have prepared the way this day for all my children, coming home or coming to me for the first time as your Savior. I am that I am. Your protection, your refuge, and your fortress. In you, Lord, I will trust. God, who is rich in mercy because of great love with which he loved us, Ephesians 2:4. Let your glory fall, Lord. Let your glory fall, and let your glory fall. So this was another journey that the Lord sent us on. And I pray that you can see God's hand moving and the different steps sometimes we have to ask. Sometimes we don't get answers. Sometimes it can come in a dream. Sometimes it just come or it won't come. But he wants to be with you.
The other thing I forgot to mention, we forgot to mention, is that when I finally told Dawn, it was like Thursday before she had a doctor appointment with the eye doctor. So I told her, and she went in, and what was the result of the test?
I have cataracts, and it's probably going on almost two and a half years with it. I went in there, and what they found in my left eye, which was the pressure was high, it had dropped 2 points in my left eye. And he said, well, the cataracts aren't ready, so you can come back in a year if you want. Yeah, or so. And I says, you know what? God's going to do it. You got a whole year to do it, Lord. So I made my appointment for a year, but I'm standing on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And another thing, if you've had trauma or anything, or joy and laughing is so important. And the trauma and everything, that's causing the sickness. Your situations you're not able to deal with and you keep inside, that causes the sickness. I mean, I had no idea he was healing me or even delivering me till a month and a half later. So if you get prayed for and you think, oh, nothing's happened.
Not after today.
Not after today. Because I said to my husband, you know what? I'm not running all the time. And that was about a month. And he says, no, you're not. Yeah. I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So please don't ever give up on the Lord Jesus. He's there. And spend time with him. That's where the changes in my life has come, when I go in and sit in a quiet place with him and be obedient to what he asked me to do. He asked me to do like 2-3 things for quite a few years. Well, maybe a couple of years. And, well, if it wasn't time, I thought. Well, once I did it, Lord's been blessing me ever since.
Amen.
So, praise God.
Okay, and I'm going to be closing in a little bit. This is the last piece of paper you'll see. But I do want to know how we're coming on those cards. Have we got them all filled out? No? Okay. While I'm talking, you guys can be filling them out. Put down those things on your heart. Okay, we're talking about prayer and God answering our prayers. That's what those are. Did you know that God collects your prayers? In Revelations 5:8, it says that our prayers are placed in a golden bowl. And in that bowl, in golden bowls, which also are the prayers of the saints. And in that bowl, in heaven, the Lord places his perfume, his his frankincense. And in Revelations 8, 3 through 5, it says, an angel was given a large amount of God's perfume, his incense, that it should be offered with the prayers of the saints and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God by the angel's hands. And Father God inhaled, and he breathed in the aroma that was sent up through the prayers going to heaven, mixing with his perfume. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to fill out those cards, and then we're going to bring them up, and we're going to offer them to the Lord. And the Lord is standing faithful to fulfill the answers to those prayers. And after Father God inhaled, our prayers became to him an aroma. That's why he sniffed. So instead of the stench that we just heard about, the Lord is inhaling his perfume and your prayers. Proverbs 15:8 says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in you guys. He delights when you talk to him. He delights when you pray to him. And Psalm 141:2 says, let my prayer be set before you as incense. This morning, we're going to bring our prayer requests before God. And he's going to blend our prayers with his holy perfume and initiate and fulfill all of our prayers. And our prayers become to him that sweet-smelling aroma, pleasing to him. When you first take that first step out of your chair, when it's time to get up, you're taking a step of faith. And you're bringing your prayer request to the altar. We're bringing it to the altar. That would be the altar of incense in heaven. And when you do that, you're reaffirming your trust in God and that he will fulfill the answer to the prayers. So we'll give you time now to finish filling them out. When you do fill them out, seal them. Don't put your name on them because we're just going to destroy them. Because they're no longer valid. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Don.